Until midday, Colin Tyrus, a newsman and his music on 88.3 Southern FM.
I'm Colin Tyrus and thanks for your company this morning. If you've just joined us, we're here every Monday morning from 10 o'clock with the program A Newsman and His Music. And that's thanks to our show sponsor, Champagne Charlie's Restaurant at 309 Centre Road, Bentley. They're open Tuesday to Sunday, and it's a fantastic place to go for lunch or dinner. It's 5 minutes past 11.
A fresh blow for the troubled Boeing 737 MAX 8 aircraft tonight. A third plane experienced trouble off the coast of Bali last year.
Begin with breaking news on the Ethiopian Airlines crash. Ethiopia's transport minister says the plane's flight data recorder shows similarities with the crash of the same model Boeing 737 MAX 8 back in October.
Within 3 minutes of taking off, Lion Air Flight 610's pilots were suddenly in a violent tug of war with the plane's computers and a new automated trim system called MCAS they may not have understood.
The cockpit recording for one of the doomed flights has revealed pilots scrambled for solutions and prayed before crashing.
China has now grounded all its 737 MAX planes. There aren't any flying here yet, but Virgin Australia does have 30 on order, with the first due to arrive by the end of the year.
Breaking news, let's listen in to President Trump right now.
We're going to be issuing an emergency order of prohibition to ground all flights of the 737 MAX 8 and the 737 MAX 9.
That's Donald Trump and what's become a PR disaster for aircraft manufacturer Boeing. The newest additions to their fleet, the 737 MAX 8 and 9 models, have been grounded worldwide following two recent deadly crashes and even more near crashes averted because pilots were able to regain control of their planes before it was too late. The problem seems to stem from a software glitch that controls the pitch of the aircraft, meaning pilots in Indonesia and most recently in Ethiopia were unable to stop them flying nose first into the sea and ground. So why should we here in Bayside be worried? Well, as mentioned in that report, because Virgin Australia has 30 of the models on order, and if you travel overseas, you may find yourself flying on a 737 MAX, whether you like it or not. Now, local resident James Nixon is an authority on airline safety. He recently retired as an airline captain with the international carrier Emirates and has 3 decades commercial flying experience under his belt. James, welcome to Southern FM.
Good morning, Colin.
Good morning and thanks for joining us. James, the first 737 took to the skies in April 1967. Now, to what extent are these new MAX variants simply an old aircraft with a few mod cons bolted on?
That's exactly what they are.
Is that right?
The 737 was certified in December 1967. That was before John and Yoko moved in together. And so ever since then, to try and not have to pay the cost of training again and certification, they just certify bolt-on additions. And they've been doing this, and this airplane is nothing, absolutely nothing like the airplane that first flew in 1967, except the circumference of its fuselage.
Is that the only similarity? The rest of it's high-tech new stuff?
On the face of it, it looks to the pilots like an old airplane. Mm. So they've got all the old switches and dials, but behind that level, behind that is a layer of complexity in many components and many systems. The screens that they now have, the glass cockpit screens, instead of all the little dials in front of the pilots, we now have glass screens.
All digital.
All digital. That's the new part of the airplane as far as it looks like it. But if you look up in the roof and sitting in the cockpit, it looks like the same cockpit as 1967.
This seems quite scary what's happened. From what I've heard in news reports and from the cockpit voice recordings of the Indonesia incident, seems to me that the pilots couldn't regain control. The aircraft took over.
That's right. And it's Boeing no longer, and neither does Airbus. No one trains for multiple failures anymore. In the old days of the old 727, I flew for 5 years. The old theory was from wartime pilots, we just keep throwing things at them until they break, basically, and see how good these pilots can be. But that doesn't happen in reality. In the previous interview with Michael Heffernan, before, you were talking about risk management in terms of the council.
Yeah.
You know, risk managers are in every part of every business now.
Absolutely.
What chance are there of a plane having two super emergencies at the same time, unrelated? Doesn't happen. So they don't train for that anymore. So these poor guys had an unreliable airspeed indication, which is in itself the worst day you can have as a pilot, and
is
only happens
right?
once in your career if you're very unlucky.
Did you ever have that happen?
Not only in the simulator.
Yep.
You'd have a test for it in the simulator. Every two or three years you'd do a test for it.
Yes.
But no, I only know maybe two guys who have ever had an unreliable airspeed in reality. And then you throw a flight control issue that is causing the pilots not to be able to control the airplane in the way they're expecting. As they move the controls in all their careers, in the seat of their pants, they're expecting left to be left and right to be right, and all of a sudden it's not doing that.
Gee.
And this happened at the same time.
Now, Boeing's received more than 5,000 firm orders for the MAX models, delivered 350 already. What would you say to the travelling public, and what would they need to know about whether the MAX models are safe to fly or whether they do contain a potentially deadly flaw that's yet to be resolved?
Right. Well, as you said before, what does it mean for someone in Bayside?
Mm.
It's not so much a problem in Australia. It's a problem when you go on an overseas holiday and you're flying between islands in some other country and suddenly you find yourself on an aeroplane and you don't know what type it is.
Mm.
Well, no need to worry.
Okay.
This aeroplane is now being grounded
worldwide.
Now, when I first brought this subject up on the Tuesday after the crash on AM on the ABC and then in the TV, I was saying, ground this aeroplane. And the reason for that was because a colleague at Emirates had got a message from a friend of his who was taking off behind that aeroplane in Ethiopia. So these 777 pilots were watching it take off and they heard the guy say, unreliable airspeed, flight control problem. So that's what we knew straight away, that these two things were the same as Lion Air, which is why we started calling for it to be grounded. It's been grounded. Right now they've been fixing the software, and I believe it's now gone to the FAA for certification. And so it's just a software fix.
Mm.
If the airspeed and the altimeters are not in agreement, then the MAX system should be turned off.
Now, normally if we need a software fix, the worst thing that can happen is our own PC at home's crashed or it's affecting our workflow. This has resulted in deaths of hundreds of people.
That's right. And with 135 computers in most airliners these days and 23 systems, we're bound to get software glitches.
Mm.
And make no mistake, they are very, very highly tested. The A380 had 135 computers, and of that, there were three computers that were supplied by Microsoft.
Mm.
Colin, which ones do you think failed every second day?
Okay.
Okay, so the actual ones they use for airlines, you know, the actual airframe manufacturer, Boeing and Airbus, their software is so robust. It's military-grade software. So, yes, the little laptop they give you to calculate takeoff and landing speeds, that fails all the time. You get the blue screen of death, and it's just another Microsoft drama.
Okay.
But the stuff, the computers, that they, the quality of the software is very, very high.
This MCAS system, that seems to be the one that's caused the most issues in terms of it takes control of the aircraft. And is it because they didn't know how to switch it off, override it, or the training was lacking? What do you think?
Well, it is now coming out that there was a software or a safety option to buy an indication machine, like a little indicating light,
mm-hmm.
and also to have the MCAS system use two sides, two angle of attack indicators. And it appears that the American airlines have bought the upgraded model, and the rest of the world bought the standard model. So we're yet to find out what it is. But basically, the philosophy of Boeing is different to Airbus. Airbus is born on a philosophy of protecting the pilot in emergencies, and
yes.
when the plane goes outside the normal flight envelope, and preventing a stall. And in the Boeing's case, it's a bolt-on system. So this MCAS system is a bolt-on anti-stall system.
Yeah.
And the Seattle Times has done some fantastic investigative work to find out that not only did the FAA, who should have regulated, the regulator who should have certified that, they didn't understand the system enough. to certify it. So they actually asked Boeing, could you please certify your own work?
Oh, dear.
And then it turned out that Boeing said, well, this thing points down like 2 degrees. Well, it pointed down 10 degrees. So even the stuff they certified was not what was fitted to the aircraft.
Do you think, and I know prosecutors in the United States are looking at this theory that they were racing to meet a deadline to fill an order by American Airlines for this particular model, this MAX model?
Well, I keep reading this stuff and it says something like 50 aeroplanes a month. Now, can you imagine anyone building 50 aeroplanes in a month?
Not really. I mean, Tesla struggles to build 50 of its cars a month.
Yes. And so we're talking about you want to see some photos of Boeing Field. If you want to have a look on the internet at the moment, have a look at all the half-built MAX aeroplanes that are now parked all over Boeing Field. They just keep producing these things.
Yeah.
You know? And sadly for Melbourne workers, we produce the flight controls here in Melbourne for that. You know, some of those, the flying surfaces.
Down at Fisherman's Bend.
Fisherman's Bend.
Yeah.
So, you know, it actually filters all the way back to Port Melbourne.
Is that going to be any sort of a blow to the reputation of the operation here in Australia, in Melbourne?
No, because here they make elevators, ailerons and the actual flying parts of the wings. So
okay.
It's not going to be... The problem with the airplane was a computer
software
problem.
Yeah.
And it'll be fixed very soon.
And, you know, here in Australia we've had that unique distinction of never having suffered a commercial jet airliner crash. So if you are managing Virgin Australia, which has 30 MAX planes on order, how comfortable would you be? You sound as if you'd be quite comfortable for the future once this is fixed.
I worked with Paul Scurrah at an Ansett project for Rod Indington for the rebuilding of Ansett. Paul used to work at Ansett and now he is taking over, I think today or tomorrow, as the boss of Virgin.
Yes.
And he has said, we are not buying an aeroplane that's not safe.
Yeah.
Now, I have no doubt that no person in Virgin, a pilot or a cabin crew or a passenger, will get on a broken aeroplane. You know, this will be fixed long before any of those planes comes to Australia.
And Boeing officials, no doubt, will be taking those first test flights.
They will, but what we may have to talk about, Colin, and that is, why is this plane still flying on a 1967 certification? It's not the same aircraft.
Mm.
And very quickly, the Russians, who have made a similar aircraft, and the Chinese, who have made their own aeroplane as well, are now turning around and saying, why should we trust the American aeroplane? So maybe it's time to recertify this aeroplane from scratch. And that means you destruct the wings, you know, you actually break an aeroplane, you do all the tests that every other new aeroplane has to do.
Yeah.
And then write the operations manual, and pilots have to do 6 weeks in the training school and they have to do 13 simulators.
Instead of apparently a 13-page guide and a two-hour iPad lesson, in some cases, I hear.
It's 55 minutes on the iPad.
Oh, that's a big deal, isn't it? You know, that's a great... I wouldn't even be able to learn how to operate this studio in 55 minutes.
Yes, but...
I'm a bit silly.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to say that.
Thank you very much indeed.
We're not flying a plane, all these red lights flashing, I'm a bit nervous.
We're speaking with James Nixon, and he's been a pilot for quite a while, which reminds me that Frank Sinatra has a great song about flying, and let's have a listen to Frankie Boy.
Come fly with me, let's fly. Pack a small bag.
Southern FM. The sounds of the Bayside.
You're on A Newsman and His Music. I'm Colin Tyrus. It's 21 minutes past 11 and we're speaking with Aviation Safety Authority, James Nixon. And James, thanks again for joining us here on 88.3 Southern FM.
It's my pleasure.
Now, you have the somewhat rare distinction, James, of being a Melbourne boy who hadn't even taken flying lessons until your mid-20s. And eventually reaching the dizzy heights, pardon the pun, of making captain with Emirates on the double-decker A380. For young people with a dream, what's the secret?
The secret is get a mentor, be inspired. I was inspired by my teacher in year 7. Ralph Schinkfield, hello, Ralph.
Good morning,
94 in May. We still correspond.
Good morning, Ralph.
Every book I write, he gets the first edition, the first book of every one I write, he gets the first one.
He must be such a proud man.
He's very proud of me and another Qantas pilot of his, of his students. But then my dream was stolen by a teacher in year 10, a science teacher who told me that I didn't get science and wouldn't let me do science anymore.
Oh.
And that meant that it stole my dream to fly.
Yeah, and you because had to do humanities.
Yeah. And of course, you believe because you think these guys know what they're talking about at that age.
Yeah.
And so I did humanities and I got into eco-politics at Monash and deferred that and started my own business and did lots of other things and thought, well, I'm never going to be a pilot. Well, at 26, I took up my first flying lesson and since then I passed every single exam. In fact, the first exam I passed, I got A+4. And the only A+ I'd had in my life was for my blood test.
Oh, wow. And did you start flying out of Moorabbin or somewhere like that?
Out of Essendon.
Essendon.
Because I wanted immediately to be an airline pilot.
Yeah.
And using the radio and the air traffic control area of a big city, primary city control zone. And this is one of the things we have at Essendon that has no one in the world has what we have at Essendon.
Is that right?
You can learn to fly in a capital city control zone, and that means it takes longer to get airborne, but you learn all those radio procedures and all the things you have to do at a big airport.
Because you have to be careful not to sort of, so to speak, cross paths with Tala traffic.
That's right. Mm. They have the runways coordinated at Essendon, so the airspace is pretty much linked.
The A380 is a sensational aircraft, and I can attest to that as a passenger. And it was also the model that survived in that infamous Qantas QF32 engine explosion. What's it like to fly?
Spectacular.
Wow.
In fact, when I first went on it as a first officer, we only had two of them at Emirates, and when I left we had 93. They've now got 109 and they're going to have 124 by the time they finish. So if you've got a good marketing department, the A380 is a marvellous aeroplane. All the passengers love it and it makes huge money. Mm. If you're full downstairs, all the upstairs is profit. If you're full upstairs, all the downstairs is profit. Mm. And, you know, and we used to fly to Bangkok every day and take two cars as well.
Yeah.
Fully laden with 545 passengers, all their bags, plus two cars in the cargo compartment. This is a most amazing aircraft.
It's got a great payload capacity then.
It does, and it can fly from Dubai all the way to Los Angeles, to Dallas and Houston, 15, 17 hours.
Apart from flying the A380, what was one of your highlights with Emirates? And I understand it was quite close to home.
It was, and I never saw it, but and I've never even got a copy of it, but Bruce McAvaney said, Melbourne boy James Nixon, as I flew an A380 over the 150th Melbourne Cup.
I remember that from our very good friend, Mr. McAvaney.
Yes, and we were on time. Let's just say that when I crashed the national anthem, it turned out that they were running, the day was running about 2 minutes late. We flew over it twice to celebrate Emirates' 25th birthday and also the 25th year since I'd started flying.
Why do you think it is then that we read that reports that the production of A380s is to cease?
Because people haven't got good marketing. And also the price of oil has gone down and the 787 has been successful with more flights to more places, more flights more often.
Mm-hmm.
When the price of oil goes back to $130 a barrel, when there's a financial crisis comes along and they decide not to build Sydney's second airport and London Heathrow's third runway, then we're going to go back to this hub and spoke system of flying the passengers to one place and then filling up a big fat plane and flying it across the world. So I have no doubt that the A380 is going to be going till 2030 and probably much longer than that.
And what's your view on the new long-haul runs by Qantas from Perth, I think it is, to London non-stop now?
Well, it's so successful that my sister flew it the other day.
Yep.
And she had to wait
to get a seat.
No, because they couldn't take. They knew from Melbourne that she couldn't get there with her bags, so that aeroplane couldn't deliver the passengers and bags on the same flight to London from Perth. So she got to London. The bags have a Singapore Airlines bag tag from Melbourne. They went from Melbourne to Singapore, where they got on their Qantas A380 from Sydney.
Yep.
and she had to wait at the baggage carousel for 45 minutes. That's a successful airline. That's a successful flight.
Yeah. So will we be seeing Melbourne to London anytime soon?
I don't think so.
No.
You know, passengers, my last flight, my last big flight from Dubai to Dallas, which was 17 hours, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
We had 10 medical emergencies, six of them we had to call Medlink for.
Okay.
So people just don't take their medications with them. They check them into their main baggage. They forget to put it in their hand baggage.
Yep.
Their medication wears off. They have a medical emergency. And so it's just fraught with danger.
One thinks it's great to get there as quickly as you can, but all these OH&S or health and safety issues
and
are very
real.
What
if you've got to divert? You know, if you go from Perth to London but have to divert to Dubai to drop off a sick passenger, what's that do for it? Because you're not fitting into Dubai's flight plan. You're not meant to be there. You've got no bay. Mm. You've got no air traffic control. You may have dramas getting airborne again out of there. Mm. Mm. So you're better off to go one stop via Singapore maybe or Hong Kong.
I love the stopovers. I mean, you can do your shopping, stretch your legs, most importantly, and if you're lucky enough to be up the front end of the plane, you can kind of luxuriate in one of those day spas in Dubai or something.
Well, or better still, Singapore's even got a swimming pool. You know, it's fantastic airport.
How good's that?
But what you've got to do is you've got to tell your passengers or you've got to tell the listeners, you've got to use compression socks and you've got to get out and walk. Now, if I'm going through to London, through Emirates, through Dubai, I get out of the aeroplane and I walk for the entire time I'm there.
Okay, don't get on the travelator and just end up in the lounge on your bum.
Drink lots of water and walk and just keep walking.
This brings up a whole new topic, and there's another very important topic, a mystery that is as yet unsolved, and that's the disappearance of MH370. And I think I might invite you back for another session. In fact, I'd love you to be a semi-regular here on the program, James.
My pleasure.
James Nixon, Captain, we'll call him. Captain James Nixon, a very accomplished and experienced pilot, now retired, but with a wealth of knowledge that we'll bring to you here on 88.3 Southern FM. Have a great day, James.
Thanks very much for having me.
Would you like to ride?